In Iowa, there's a conversation taking place about whether to raise the requirements to be a mortician for the first time in 60 years. Right now, a student just needs the equivalent of an associate's degree to get a license. But the Iowa Funeral Directors Association wants potential undertakers to get a bachelor's degree as they do in Ohio and Minnesota. They say that's just a few more credits than what's required now and would better prepare students for life in general. But people are worried. It's more money, more debt, and there's just one state school in Iowa offering the Bachelor's in Mortuary Science, Upper Iowa University. Bill Armstrong is president of the Iowa Funeral Directors Association and owner of Armstrong Funeral Homes in Mount Air, Iowa. And Bill, your group is suggesting that internships in your field be accredited. They aren't now, and that would also give a candidate enough credits for a bachelor's degree. But by raising the bar at all, do you worry you're going to have a harder time getting candidates into your industry than people are already having across the country, especially in a time of an opioid overdose epidemic, and especially in rural areas?
Well, as far as the work in the rural areas, I don't really believe that changing the accreditation is going to change that aspect. If you eliminate the license, and I'm just hypothetically throwing this out, mm-hmm. I don't believe people are going to flock to small towns. The idea of shortages in small towns across the state, that's a number of different things. In our community of Mount Air, we had a hard time recruiting a surgeon to our hospital down there because they all want to stay in the larger cities. So it is as a struggle to get people to come to small towns. They want to stay in the larger metropolitan areas.
By the way, this idea of having people go to get a bachelor's degree in order to get a license to be a mortician, we understand that part of the thinking here is the state, the Iowa Board of Regents, would be required to provide a public mortuary science program before they started. In other words, a public school would have this program as well.
Yes.
Well, so you're talking about changing, you know, the requirements for licensing. What do you make of Richard Slade? You probably know he's owned Slade O'Donnell Funeral Home for about four decades. He says the vast majority of skills, and he's speaking for himself, he learned on the job, almost as if he's saying, you know, you could almost decrease the requirements.
Yeah, I guess we all learn on the job. But you need that basic foundation. You need the education. Just to go along with everything that we have to deal with, whether it be FTC, government regulations, the change in dynamics, whether it be in the physical side of things with diseases, with business side of things, the accounting. There's just so many things. So, yeah, you do learn along the way, but to eliminate, that would not be the answer to this.
Well, the National Funeral Directors Association is finding that the number of funeral homes in the country has dropped by more than 10% since 2004. As other surveys are saying that there are going to be even more jobs available in the profession as the baby boomers, you know, move through life. So you've got this conflict. You've got the need for jobs. You know, you can put out a banner and say, we're a growing industry job-wise, but you're a shrinking industry brick-and-mortar-wise.
Well, for that purpose, I mean, the number of funeral homes shrinking, there could be different variables involved in that. Some of it is that there's no one to take over the business. It's a mom-and-pop operation. They do a limited amount of calls per year, and they're just attracted to selling that to a larger firm, and then their firm becomes a branch chapel, or it's closed down because of the economics. So, yeah, there's a lot of variables as far as why funeral home numbers across the nation have diminished.
So you have rural funeral homes closing. You know, as we've been hearing from people, the very last thing you want to do in this precious moment is have to drive a couple hours to get some help. Make the case that somebody should go into your industry.
So as far as the work demands, that is not an attractant to this profession.
No, you funeral directors can often work round the clock and with few days off.
It can be that way. And then, you know, on the other side is that the slower days, we can enjoy the things that we need to do. But that's just it as far as to make the case of why I become a funeral director. It's because of that, of walking with the families during this time, of bringing closure, of helping them come together to remember and to commemorate and to celebrate this life that's been lived. So what we have maybe not done the best of is recruiting the next generation of the funeral directors. As far as being a mentor to that young man or woman in high school that's very caring and has a great personality, saying, you would make a great funeral director. How about job shadowing this summer? And then someday coming back to our community and taking over the business, working with us, whatever it needs to be. So we expect them to come to us when we really should be looking in our backyards, in our churches, in our own communities to who is going to be the next funeral director.
That's Bill Armstrong, president of the Iowa Funeral Directors Association, owner of Armstrong Funeral Homes in Mount Air, Iowa, as they consider a change in licensing and just a change in the industry. Bill, thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me on here today, Robin.